Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah says, "Rosh Hashanah kol bo'ei olam ovrim lefanav kivnei maron." On Rosh Hashanah, all human beings pass before HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivnei maron. And the Gemara has three different days what b'nei maron is. My kivnei maron, hochak targimu kivnei imarna. In Bavel, they said that b'nei maron means like sheep. And we say that in davening, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, kibakoras roe edro, mavir tzono tachashivto, like a shepherd counts his sheep, passes them under the rod one by one. So too we pass before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Mishpat one by one, each one separately. Reish Lakish Omar Kemalos Beis Moron, or the Girsa in the Rosh is Kebeis Choron. Beit Choron was on top of a mountain, and there was a mountain pass with steps that went up the mountain, and it was a very narrow pass, and only one person could go up at a time. And so too, just like the people going up this mountain pass went one at a time, we also passed before HaKadosh Baruch Hu one at a time on Rosh Hashanah. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Kichayolo Shel Beis David, like soldiers passed before the king one by one, and that also. And b'nei maron, Rashi says Loshen maron is kehumarna de malka, like morus va'adnus. That's like like soldiers that pass before the commanding officer, before the melech to be reviewed, and they also go one by one. And now the Gemara adds, Omer Avrachan, Omer Yochan, V'kulan Yiskorim B'skira Achas. And they all are looked at with one glance. So there are many pshatim as to why these three different mashalim. L'chora, they're basically bottom line saying the same thing. That we pass one by one before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, single file. What difference does it make if it's single file like sheep, or it's single file like climbing a mountain in a single file staircase, or like soldiers? I want to say the following, that each of these mishalim reveals another aspect of the mishpat, what exactly HaKadosh Baruch Hu is judging us on, and there's no machlokas between them. Each one holds of the other ones. Just what's the ikar nakuda of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and what he's judging us. The first one, like sheep. Why does a shepherd inspect his sheep? So basically he's looking for three inyonim. First of all, he wants to see if they're there. They haven't run away. They haven't died. So he wants to count them, make sure they're all there. Secondly, even if they're there, he wants to see that they're healthy, that they're not blemished, they're not damaged, or whatever. And the third thing is, he wants to check and make sure that they have their brand of the shepherd, that they're identifiable as his sheep. That if you see those sheep, you know they're his. So he checks each one, first to see if they're there, secondly to see if they're healthy, and thirdly if they bear his brand. That, the nimshal is, that's the first aspect of Mishpat on Rosh Hashanah, and the Mishpat, I imagine, for most of us, is not over yet. We're still in the middle of that Mishpat till Yom Kippur. For Beinanim, the Mishpat extends till Yom Kippur. So this is still relevant, I guess, for most of us. So what we are being judged on, first aspect of Mishpat, is like Tzon. First, the Rabbanu wants to see if we're there. We haven't gone off the derech. We haven't killed ourselves spiritually, either partially or totally. You can be partially on the derech, and you can have one foot off the derech. So first, the Rabbanu Shem wants to see if you're fully there, to count you. Are you still part of his malchus? Are you still committed to him? That's the first thing. And if so, how much and how much not? The second thing is, even where you're committed, but you have averus, may not be off the derech, but averus he did because of taiva, because of shogeg, whatever it may be. And you have mitzvahs. What are the quality and quantity of the mitzvahs? What's the quality and quantity of the averus? Are you healthy? How healthy? Blemished. So that's the second idea. And the third one is to see if we bear his brand. Aside from keeping mitzvahs, there's another inyan that a yid has to do, and that is to be part of Mamleches Kohanim in the Goy Kadosh. A yid has to live a life of Kedusha, so we represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are the Kohanim of the world, and we represent the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the way we represent him is by living a life of godliness, of Kedusha. And when people see how we function, so they say there must be a God, because these people function in a very godly way. And that's in addition to stam keeping mitzvahs. It's possible to keep mitzvahs and still not live a life of Kedusha. The Yaakov Avinu told Esav, "Im lovan garti, v'taryig mitzvah shomarti, v'lo lamadati mimaisav haroi." It seems to imply that you can keep all taryig mitzvahs and still have to say, "Lo lamadati mimaisav haroi." It's possible still to learn from lovan's ways and keep taryig mitzvahs. If you don't have different standards, different values, different lifestyle than the rest of the world, right, you can keep the mitzvahs and still maintain your same values, your same standards, but you do it kosher. That's not the perfection of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. He wants us to create a lifestyle that is the way that it should be. An example, when I was a rav in Miami, people used to come to me with ads from the Jewish press speaking about cruises to the Bahamas for Pesach. And they wanted me to check on it to see if the Hechsherim were okay, if Shabbos and Yom Tov were okay, if the Mominus part was okay, Tznius was going to be okay. After going through Dalet Chelkei Shulchan Aruch to all the things that could be wrong with these cruises, and coming up with nothing, they were 100% glatt kosher, and Shabbos and Yom Tov was fine. But bottom line, is that what the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted people to do during Zman Cheruseinu? To be on a boat going to the Bahamas? Maybe for Bahamas, but not for Bahamas. That's Kedusha. That's what the Torah is all about. There's something missing, right? Again, if these people needed a vacation, they needed some fresh air, there's nothing wrong with going on a cruise. But these people had more fresh air in their backyards in Miami, and they didn't get seasick getting it. But the idea is that that's a status symbol. Going on a cruise, right, that's a value, that's a goal. Right? Somebody who has those goals but makes it glatt kosher, so he's a glatt kosher goy. But he's not a glatt kosher Jew. So the Ribbono Shel Olam wants more than just taking the secular world and koshering. He wants you to have different standards, different values, a different kind of lifestyle. When I first started my Rabbonis in Miami, so our kehila didn't have a mikveh, didn't have a yeshiva, and one day one of my balabatim, who was influential, wealthy, came to me very upset. And he said, there's one thing that this community is missing that would make it a top-notch Torah community, and I'm really upset about it. So I was very excited, because I figured he's either upset that we don't have a mikvah or we don't have a yeshiva. And if he'd tell me which one it was, I would tell him, you know, if you're so upset about it, do something about it. I'll make you the chairman of the mikvah committee. Build a mikvah here. So I asked him very anxiously, what is that one thing that our kehila is missing that would make it a top-notch Torah community? He said, a first-rate, glatt kosher French restaurant. When I regained consciousness, trying to figure out where they're going to put the mikveh in this restaurant, it hit me, what's the problem here? Again, there's nothing wrong with French restaurants, especially if they're glatt kosher. My expertise in French cuisine ends with French fries, but Lamaise, I'm sure there's a lot more to it. And nothing wrong with, you know, having a glatt kosher French restaurant. But what does that have to do with being a Torah community? If you would tell me, well, our community is missing something, we could be a French community. We could be a food community. Right? I would understand. But what in the world does that have to do with Torah? Right? When I was learning in Tells, we never had a shiur on French restaurants. I must have missed that part of Rabbonis. Right? What does that do being a top-notch Torah community? Right? Elamai, the standards and values and goals of these people are basically the same standards, values, and goals of the secular world. What's a community? How many eating establishments you have? How many cultural establishments you have? But we have to do it glatt kosher. So we have the same standards, the same values, the same goals as the goy, except ours is glatt kosher. That's not what the Rabban Shalom wants. So the third thing that Rabban Shalom is judging us is, do we bear his brand? Do we, our lives, represent him? Are we living a life of kedusha? We're living a life that when people look at us, the way we function in our social life, married life, economic life, it's kedusha. A few years ago in Boston, there was a man, I think he's still alive. If he is, he should live a long time. His name is Aaron Feuerstein. He owned a textile mill where they made fabric, and it burnt down. And he employed tens, if not hundreds, of workers. Now, morally, nobody would have had any tainas on him if he called his workers together and said, I don't have a mill anymore. I can't keep you on a payroll, right? I have nothing to pay you to do. So go find other jobs, and when I rebuild my mill in a few months from now, or years, whenever it takes, right, I'd be happy if you're still available to hire you back, but I can't hold you, and you can't expect me to be achroi for you. But he felt that he had a responsibility to these people. He kept them on the payroll. He didn't pay them their pay, because they had nothing to do. But he kept up their social security, their medical benefits, all the time that he had no mill. Until he rebuilt it and rehired these people, all the time they shouldn't lose these benefits. Every paper magazine in America picked up on it. Even here they picked up on it. It's a Kiddush Hashem. That's how a Yid has to conduct his business. In a godly way. And when people look, they say, this isn't a regular person. That was a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. This is a person who lives, he represents something godly, something kedusha. And that's the brand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the first aspect of the Mishpat. Are you a good sheep? Are you there? How much are you there? Are you healthy? Mitzvahs, averas wise, midos wise, emuna, do you have the right deis? All of that's included. And do you bear HaKadosh Baruch Hu's brand? Are you living a life of Kedusha? Are your standards, your values, your goals, your lifestyle different their Torah lifestyle? Or it's the same lifestyle, just glatt kosher. So what's left? That sounds like everything. There's two more aspects of this Mishpat. The second aspect is like people climbing up the mountain. You could be exactly the same madrega as somebody else. Reuven and Shimon could be on the same madrega, legabe, all the things we mentioned till now. They're exactly the same. They're on the same level 30. Same mitzvahs, same averas, exactly. Same lifestyle, same commitment to Yiddishkeit, exactly the same. Identical twins. One's going to get a good mishpat, and one's going to get a negative mishpat. How could it be? Because Reuven, last year, was on level 20, and he went up to level 30. And Shimon was on level 40, and he went down to level 30. It's not enough just to be on a nice level in this world, but you have to constantly be improving, and not regressing and not stagnating. This is a world of motion. Human beings are mahalchim. V'nasati l'cha mahalchim bein ha'omdim ha'elu. And we have to constantly be moving. Either you're moving ahead or you're moving backwards. You can't stand still. If you make a little effort, you may go up a little higher. If you make a lot of effort, if you make a little effort, you may stand still. If you make a lot of effort, you'll get a little bit ahead. But if you stand still, you go down. And therefore, you have to move. It's physics-wise. This world is a world of movement. Nothing stands still. This table's not standing still. The atoms, the molecules are moving at the speed of light. if they would stop moving, the table would theoretically cease to exist. Everything contracts as it gets colder because the atoms slow down, the molecules slow down, and they get closer and closer. Theoretically, when you get to absolute zero, so it would disappear. Not there anymore. It doesn't exist. You can't have things in this world that stop moving. And besides that, it's moving around the axis. The Earth is moving on its axis, and it's moving around the sun. Everything's moving. Nothing stands still. When you stand still, you don't exist in this world. This is a world of mahalchim, of movement. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to see how you're moving. You're moving ahead, you're moving backwards. So he's not only going to judge you what level you're on. You may be on a great level, but if you haven't improved, if you've stagnated, or worse, you've regressed, then that's going to be a very negative point in the Mishpat. So the next part of the Mishpat is like people climbing up the mountain. How much of a climber are you? How much have you improved? How much are you moving? And how much are you stagnating? That's why a shofar is called Shitru Ma'aseichem. Not just do good, do better. Chidshu Ma'aseichem, do new things. Don't just do the old things that you did before. Be mechadish new things. Do it in a better way. That's what is expected. So therefore, the Rabban Hashem is not only going to judge us on what madrega we're on, like sheep. He's going to also judge us on what madrega we were on compared to where we are now, and take that into cheshbon too, like people climbing up a mountain. And the third aspect is like a soldier. Rav Shlaga Feigl Mendelovich says that what we say on Rosh Hashanah in Musaf, that the Rabban Hashem judges us, Ma'ase Ishu Pekudaso. He remembers all the deeds of people, Upekudaso. He says, what's that mean? He says, we all have very generic mitzvahs to do. We all fast on Yom Kippur, and we shuckle Esrog and Lulav, and we listen to Shofar, and we keep Shabbos. That's Ma'ase Ish. And then we also have Pekudaso, what our unique mission is in this world. Our unique part in this world. And that is a combination. How do you know what your tachlis is? I don't know if I ever mentioned to the yeshiva, to the kol, for sure not, so I'll say it again. How do you know what your tachlis is? Young guys usually think that someday they're going to hear what their tachlis is. Either some Rebbe is going to tell them, or they're going to go to some mekubal and he'll tell them what their tachlis is, and or something's going to fall out of Shemayim one day and it's going to be there. This is your tachlis. That's not a shame. Never happens. Maybe if we had Nevi'im, maybe. But that doesn't happen. So how do you know what your tachlis is? Somebody once asked me this question that I couldn't not answer him. His name was Uri Kamisar, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He was a balabas in the shul in Harnof that I used to be associated with. And he was dying of a brain tumor. And he knew it. The doctors sent him home from the hospital. There was nothing more they could do for him. He was still functioning very nicely, but he just had a matter of weeks to live. That's what the doctor said. And that's in the end what happened. And it was Aseres Yemei Tshuva, quite a few years ago, and he called me up, he wants to speak to me. So I went to speak to him, and he told me, look, I have no tainus on the Ribono Shel Olam, Baruch Hashem, he gave me a very, very beautiful life. I can't complain that he's not giving me any more. I'm happy that he gave me what he gave me. Family and parnosa and nothing to complain about. But what's bothering me is, did I fulfill my tachlis in life? So I was flattered that he thought I was a navi, right? But I couldn't tell him, I'll get back to you, you know, in a few weeks or whatever. I didn't have the option. I had to answer. So the Ribono Shel Olam put the following answer into my head, and after saying it over probably hundreds of times since then, it's emes lamito. How do you know if you're Mekayim your tachlis, what your tachlis is altogether? The script, everybody has the same script. It's called the Shulchan Aruch. It's called Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. And it unfolds every second of your life as new things come your way. You get up in the morning, you got up. Get out of bed, say Modani, go wash Negelwasser. That's your tachlis at that moment. You get dressed, you hear a knock at the door. All of a sudden, the Rabbanu is sending you something that's specific to you. And Ani is at the door, Shulchan Aruch tells you how you have to deal with him, what you have to give him, if you can't give him, how to speak to him. That, at that moment, is that part of your tachlis. And as the day progresses, as your life progresses, the Rebbe Nachum sends things your way that you can deal with your abilities, capabilities, talents, your qualities, your specific neshama. He sends people that you can interact with. He gives you circumstances that you have to face. He puts you in places and in environments that you have to function. All of that is your tachlis, and it reveals itself, it uncovers itself second by second, day by day, and you have to relate to it properly. How do you know? You have to learn. And what you don't know, you have to ask an etzah from somebody who does know. And when you react to all the things that Rebbe Nachum sends you, you're doing your part. If you react in the wrong way, you're not doing your part. So if you know that you are functioning in the what HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends your way on an ongoing basis, then that's your Mekayim, your Tachlis. You don't know it in advance. It's something that comes to you day by day, second by second. That's your Tachlis in this world. But it's something that's unique to you. Where you are, who you are, what time in the world. People who were born during the Holocaust had one Tachlis. People born in America in the time of plenty have a different Tachlis. People born in a third world country in a time of poverty is another thing. People born to families that have problems have one tachlis. People born families that's not their problem, a different tachlis. Every person is put, it's like a play. You have your time that you come on the stage. You have your lines to say. You have your specific things to do, dance, sing, speak. Stand. I was once in a play when I was in third grade. I was a tree. So that was my time. Just stand there. I didn't have to say anything. I have to dance. I have to sing. I just had to be a tree. So the maisa, what's it called? Sometimes you have to be the tree. You stand there so other people can stand in your shade. It's also a tachlis. So that is maisa ishu pekudaso. What is your mission? Are you doing what's unique to you or doing just what everybody else does? The generic things. Are you using your kochos, your kishronos, your talents, abilities, capabilities, and qualities to fulfill your tachlis? Rav Kook Zatzal says what we say in Yom Kippur: Elokai ad shelo notzarti eini kedai, v'achshav shenotzarti kiilu lo notzarti. Until I was created, it wasn't kedai, and now that I'm here, it's like I wasn't here. So he explains it in a beautiful way. What does it mean? Think about it when you see it. Say it on Yom Kippur. He says like this: every person's neshama was created to fulfill some tachlis in this world. And he was put in a certain time and place where he is able to do that tachlis. Because if he'd be in a different time and place, he wouldn't be able to accomplish what he's supposed to accomplish as his part of the history of Klal Yisrael. Lamash. I'm not going to mention any specific name because maybe it's a shtickle derogatory. A Godel of Israel in our time. Okay, pick any name you want. Godel of the previous generation. Okay, if he would have been born in a time of Tanoim, Amoroim, Nevi'im, he would have been a nothing. With his kochus, with the generation, right, and he'd been around people who were Tanoim, Amoroim, and Nevi'im, he would have been Batel Mavutel. He would have been an Amoritz Godel. But in the door that he was born into, he's a Godel B'Yisrael, compared to what other people are. And he was needed to be a Godel in that door. Had he been born in another door, he may not have been a Godel. His Kochos and Kishronos, compared to the superb Kochos and Kishronos of that door, would have been nothing. So the Rebbe Nachum waited until the door that he could have made a Rosh Hashanah and put him in that door. Didn't put him in a door of Tanoim and Amoroim. Right? If I would have been born 200 years ago, before they had tape recorders, so anything I ever could have said would have been forgotten in a minute. Right? It's not all that important. No big deal. Right? If I put it in the safer, nobody would ever open the safer. So Rabbi Kiveger never had tape recorders. Yet people know till today exactly what he said, and they're Mefalpel, and there's Svarim, and there's Mipiashmua. Because what Rabbi Kiveger said, he didn't need a tape recorder, right? It was so intense that people remember it till today, and they open his forum and they learn it. But if I would have been born 200 years ago, before there were tape recorders, it would have been a waste of time. So the Rebbeinu Shem waited to put my neshama into the world till there were tape recorders. So lemaisa, maybe somebody remember what I said because it's on a recording somewhere. Right? Everybody has their tafkid and their tachlis, and the Rebbeinu Shel Olam puts you in the place and the time where you can fulfill that, and not in a different place and a different time. And it changes. He nudges you into this place, that place, whatever. So that's what it says. Elokai ad shelo nutzarti eini kedai. Before the time came that I should be created, it wasn't kedai to bring me into this world. But now that I'm here, ki'ilu lo notzarti, am I really accomplishing what I'm supposed to accomplish? That's what we need. So every person is like a soldier. Every soldier has his specific tafkid, his mission, as part of the army. No two soldiers are the same. Different qualities, different kishronos, different talents, and different missions. How serious is it if you don't fulfill your unique mission? How bad is it? Okay, I'm doing what everybody's supposed to do, but I'm not using my kochos and my kishronos, right, to their fullest advantage in avodas Hashem. How bad is that? The Chiddush Arim says that at Nila and Yom Kippur, we say the following. We don't say the long Al-Chait. In place of Al-Chait, we say Atonosen Yabla Poshin. Three paragraphs that take the place of the Al-Chait. And in there's only one vidui. And that vidui is L'manechtal Ne'oshik Yodein, in order that we should stop stealing. So every Jew, man, woman, child, Ni'il on Yom Kippur, has to be misvada that he's a ganav. So that's every Jew. Every Jew is a ganav. Right? That's Jews. Every Jew is a ganav. Right? It says, Rov Gandhi Yisrael. But it doesn't say Rov Yisrael, Gandhi. Right? Rov Ganavim happened to be Jews in the time of Chazal. But not Rov Jews were ganavim. So what does it mean? Right? So says the Chiddush Arim. Before I tell you what he says, I'll tell you a marshal that I think brings it out very clearly. In secular high schools, they send scouts from sports teams, from professional firms, to scout out seniors that are talented, that if they go to college and learn a profession, they could be very, very good at that profession. And these people are looking for young talent to add to their firms, so they look around for people who could get and catch to be part of their firm. So imagine what's it called, engineering architecture firm sends a scout, to a senior class. And looking for somebody who has great marks in math and has a talent of art. If you're good at math and you're artistic, you could be a great architect. You could be an engineer. Those are the qualities you need to be an architect and an engineer. So they find somebody who's really talented in both these areas, and they say to him, look, if you would go to college and take architecture, engineering, right, you have the potential to be really somebody special. And we could use nice, young, talented architects and engineers. We're willing to pay for your education. Tens of thousands of dollars to go to college. And when you'll get your degree, right, and you'll become an architect, an engineer, you have to come and work for our firm for 5 years, minimum. That's the condition. So we're guaranteed of having some new talent in our firm, and you're guaranteed of having an education. So the guy says, great, I have a guaranteed education, paid for, guaranteed job after I finish. What could be better? He signs on the dotted line. Taka goes through college, gets his degree, and he comes to work for the firm. But instead of doing anything constructive, all day he just sits and doodles. Kishkushim. That's all he does. Right? Sits the whole day and makes designs on paper. Doesn't do anything constructive for the firm. What Aveira is that person chayv? Don't tell me doodling, that's not one of the Tariq mitzvahs. It's not even on the vidui list of the chayodim. Right? So what is it? It's a ganav. He's over on Ganav. They invested in him a tremendous amount of money, and he's not giving the return on the investment. He's a ganav. So too, says the Chiddush Arim, we come Ni'ila Yom Kippur, and we realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu invested in us a lot more than money. Gave us a body, a neshama, kochos, kishronos, talents, abilities, capabilities, material possessions, and the Rabbanu Shem is expecting a return on his investment. He wants to see us use those things, l'man Hashem, l'avodas Hashem, Klal Yisrael, for Torah. And we look back over the year, and we see not only sometimes aren't we using those things, l'avodas Hashem, sometimes we're using it for the competition. So we're a bunch of ganavim. We're not giving the Rabbanu Shem a return on what he invested in us. So we tell the Rabbanu Shem, Ne'ila l'manech tal me'oshik yodenu. This year we're going to stop stealing. True. In the past, maybe we've stolen all these things that haven't given you the return that you expect. This year we're going to stop stealing. L'manech tal me'oshik yodenu. So it's a very serious thing. The person's not only judged again on what he's supposed to do, mitzvahs, averis, kedusha, all the things, growing. You're also judged, are you using your unique talents, abilities, and capabilities, where you are, in your circumstances, to do your unique part, like a soldier. So those are the three aspects of the mishpat. Like sheep, like climbers, like soldiers. So that's not the end of it. Then the Gemara says, the kulam niskarim b'skira achas. What does that add to the mishpat? All of this would be fine to judge a person on if you'd be the only person in the world. The only person in the world, so the Rabbanu Shem judges you as a sheep, climber, a soldier. But you're not the only person in the world. There's a lot of other people in the world. And you have to relate to them. You have to interact with them. You have a chiyuv to live amongst many tzibur. The first tzibur is your immediate family. That's a tzibur. You have to interact with your parents and your siblings. And then your extended family, aunts, uncles, cousins. And then your neighborhood, or your yeshiva. You're in a yeshiva, this is your tzibur. You belong to a shul in Chutz Laaretz, a neighborhood, that's your tzibur. You live in a city, that's your tzibur, another tzibur. Live in a country, you have to interact with the other people in that country, on a national level. You're part of Klal Yisrael. You have to interact with all of Klal Yisrael. You're part of the world. So on all these levels, you have to function as part of a tzibur too. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not only going to judge us what kind of sheep we were, what kind of climbers we were, what kind of soldiers we were as individuals. He's also going to judge us how we fit into the tzibur. And there's three kinds of tzibur. There's a kahal, there's an eda, and there's Yisrael. Kahal, Adas Yisrael. Kahal, Kehila, literally means a congregation. People congregating. Vayikohalu HaYehudim. Physically. People gather together, and they, what's it called, do things together. Not as individuals. They do it koach harabim. Eino domeh, yochid oses hamitzvah, l'rabim osim es hamitzvahs. It's a koach harabim in learning together. You could learn yourself. You don't have to be part of a kolel or a yeshiva. You could sit and learn by yourself. You don't even need a chavrus. But isn't a tremendous difference of learning in a base medrash when there's more people? That's a big difference learning in a base medrash where there's thousands of people. Ain't no dome. Yachid ose l'rabimos. Tell you the truth. See it here. If there weren't so many people sitting here now, I wouldn't be able to speak the way I'm speaking. If there's one person sitting here, I would speak to you like a conversation. But if I was here alone, I surely wouldn't be speaking like this. I'd be out of my mind. I once spoke in a Beis Yaakov in Australia, where they were mocked by that the men did not speak in front of the girls. So, but they wanted the girls to hear men speak. So they put me in an office downstairs with a closed circuit television, and they told me, speak to the camera, and the girls will be watching you on TV upstairs. So I started, and I felt like an idiot, talking to myself. I didn't see anybody. Right? I'm sitting in a room all by myself, and I'm supposed to be talking like I'm talking to you now. I felt mama's like an idiot. So I told them, look, do me a favor. Send a janitor in. Tell him to sit in front of me. I'll talk to him. I got to talk to somebody. Right? It makes a difference. If you're doing it alone, you're doing it with other people. Barov am hadras melech. There's a big difference if you have 10 people davening or 1,000 people davening together. It's more covet for the Rabbanu Shalom. So you're not only going to be judged as a sheep, as how good a sheep you were, but how much part of the flock you were. So the Rabbanu Shalom is going to judge us on these three aspects on one level, as individuals. Then he's going to look at all of us, b'skira achas. First we pass by one, single file. And then the Rabbanu Shalom takes another look, b'skira achas, he looks at everybody together. And he sees, how did you relate, how did you interact with the other people? Were you a good sheep, but you were a loner? Or were you a good sheep and you're also part of the flock? And that makes a difference. Were you part of the kahal? Were you part of a sheep amongst other sheep, or you just were a lone sheep? Did everything on your own? You learned on your own, did mitzvahs on your own. You didn't bother daven b'tzibur. You didn't learn b'tzibur. You didn't come to shiurim. You weren't part of the yeshiva as a functioning yeshiva. You did everything on your own. You learned what you wanted to learn on your own. You came when you wanted to come. You left when you wanted to come. So you may be doing very nicely, but that's as an individual sheep, but you're not part of the flock. And being part of the flock, being part of the kahal, is also important. So that's the second level of the first aspect. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges you as a lone sheep, he's going to judge you how you interacted with all the other sheep. Second aspect, going up that staircase. You may be a great olah, right? You're really improving, right? You're really, what's it called, becoming better and better. But that's, if you'll be the only person on the staircase, that will be the only cheshbon. But there's plenty of people else on the staircase, beneath you and above you. How did you interact with them? That's the second level of the second aspect. There are people beneath you. Did you ever take the time out to turn around and offer them a helping hand to come up to the level you're on? I'm on level 30. You're only on level 29. Would you like some help, inspiration, learning, that I could help you come up to level 30? Or do you ignore them? Keep your back to them all the time. How about the people farther down? So you couldn't maybe turn around and give them a helping hand. But what kind of example were you to them? When they looked up and saw you on level 30, here's this guy, Davins with Kavana, and he shuckles. But when he shuckles, does he knock down the 10 people around him? Does he run to davening and step on everybody's toes? What kind of person is he? What kind of human being were you, right, level 30, that made other people admire you and want to reach your level? Because, wow, when you're on level 30, you're a real nice person. I'd like to be a person like that. Or were you such a miserable person that people looked up to level 30 and said, I never want to be on level 30. Because when you get to level 30, you become a miserable person like that guy is. So what kind of example were you? Were you example? Were you a help to the people beneath you? Or, Rahmanul Islam, the other way. How about the people ahead of you? People more frum than you. People more medaktik in mitzvahs. More zoyer in Lashon Hara. And more zoyer in Shabbos and Kashrus or whatever. And Tznius. When you looked up to them, did you admire them? Encourage them? Strengthen them? Wow, I wish I could be on your madrega. More kol hakavod, more koach to you. Right? You're an inspiration to me. Is that how you looked at them? Or you looked at them and said, ah, a bunch of fanatics, chnyoks, look at these frumis, right? They're a bunch of nuts. And you weakened them, right? And didn't encourage them, didn't strengthen them. So the Rabbanu Shalom is not only going to judge you where you're holding on the staircase, but how did you relate to the people beneath you on the staircase? How did you relate to the people above you on the staircase? That's keneged an eda. An eda comes either from Lashon Edus. Everybody is testifying towards the same goal. It's not people congregating physically, but they're congregating spiritually. We have a common faith community. We have a common goal. Or from the word yad. Yad means a destination. We all have the same destination. We're all headed in the same direction. And therefore, how did I relate to the people behind me and ahead of me who are headed in that same direction? I'm part of an eda. I'm not just alone on the staircase. I'm part of people who testify to the same thing. The Malbim says an Eda is a Mesudardika community, where you know who's ahead of you, who's beneath you, and how to relate to these people. Who's cotton from you and who's gotten from you. So, did you relate to the Eda as a climber? Or were you a climber who was oblivious of everybody else on the staircase? That's the second level of the second aspect. And finally, the second level of the third aspect, as a soldier. You could be a great soldier. You could do your part with your kochos and kishronos, great. But if you don't coordinate it and synchronize it with other people, you could destroy more than you accomplish. I'll give you a marshal, which I think really hits the spot of how that could be. Imagine a four-hour play. I don't know why I picked this, but I say it all the time, same thing, so we'll just leave it the way it is. A four-hour play about the life of Abraham Lincoln. Okay, you all know who Abraham Lincoln was? Okay. Abraham Lincoln was born in a log cabin. That's where the play starts. A little baby's crying in the cradle, and they say, it's a boy! Let's call him Abraham, and that's the beginning of the play. And then the play goes on for 4 hours. Each act deals with a different stage in Abraham Lincoln's life. Act two, he's already a schoolboy, right, and follows his life there. And obviously, they don't wait till this baby grows up to become a schoolboy to continue act two. They have a different actor. Right? First they have a baby who plays Abraham Lincoln. In the next act, they ask somebody who's a kid who's 8 years old to play Abraham Lincoln. And the next one, they have a teenager playing Abraham Lincoln. And then somebody in his 20s and so on. There's 5 acts. And each time, a different actor. You are the actor who plays Abraham Lincoln in his mid-20s. Okay? That's you. You come on the stage in Act 3. Okay? Act 3. And you have lines to say, some talking, you have a little dance to do, and you have a song to sing. That is your part. And you rehearse it over and over and over again till you know it cold. You could say the lines in your sleep backwards. That's how well you know it. Your song, you sing great. Your dance is perfect. Comes the day of the play. You're sitting there behind the stage, and they start the play. Baby cries, okay. And that takes 20 minutes, that first thing. Then comes Act 1, Scene 2. Right? Abraham Lincoln is now 2 years old, 3 years old, okay? And that takes another 15, 20 minutes. Then Act 1, Scene 3. Now he's 5, 6 years old, another 15 minutes. Finally get to Act 2. Act 2 already, the kid is 10, 11 years old. It's a much longer act. It takes another hour. You're sitting there looking at your watch. It's ridiculous. By the time they get to Act 4, my act, or Act 3, whatever it is, it's going to be another hour and a half. I don't have time to sit around here. This is ridiculous. So you run up on the stage, you, Abraham Lincoln, in his mid-20s, together with Abraham Lincoln, who's 3 years old, on the same stage. And you say your lines, and you do your dance, and you sing your song, and you bow, and you exit stage left. You just ruined the whole play. Even though your lines were perfect, your dance was perfect, your song was perfect, but Lamaisa, you didn't coordinate it with the other people in the play. You did it at a time when you weren't supposed to be on the stage. Now people are looking, they can't understand. How could it be two Abraham Lincolns? 1-3 and 1-20? The whole thing doesn't make any sense anymore. So you just killed the whole play. But you did your part great. But if you do your part great, but you don't synchronize it, you may have great talents that you can contribute to the yeshiva, to the kollel. But if you don't realize that other people also have talents and you have to work together with them and you have to do it in a way that everybody can contribute what they can contribute, right? But you try to hog in on this one and not work together with other people, then you could be doing more harm than good. You know, when you're a shortstop on a baseball team and you can really field ground balls great, but you never throw the ball to the first baseman, you're never going to win a game. If you don't know how to coordinate what you're doing, your talent, with other people, you're not a team person, you're not going to accomplish anything. You'll always get those ground balls, great. But you hold them in your hand, don't throw them to the first baseman, you're never going to win a game, b'chlal. So it's not enough just to do your part as a soldier. You also have to, what's it called, be part of Yisrael. Yisrael is the third aspect. Kahal Eda Yisrael. Yisrael is Yesh Shishim Ribi Osios LaTorah. Yisrael, the Rashi Tevos, is Yesh Shishim Ribui Osios LaTorah. Every Yid is an Os in the Torah. And that tells me two things. One is, every Yid is different. There's not just 22 different letters. Because every letter is different because where it is. The Beis in Bereishis is not the same Beis in Bara. it comes before other letters and follows either nothing or other letters. The word lemor is not the same lemor, even in the same pasuk, by Dabra Hashem was lemor, but it's in this parasha or this parasha. What's the next pasuk? What was the pasuk before? What was the letter before? Every letter is different. But every letter is only significant if it's in its right place. The most hush of a letter is nothing unless it's exactly after the one it's supposed to be and before the one it was supposed to be in the right parsha. But if you're not coordinated with all the other letters, then it's not a sefer Torah, then it's possible. So it's not just that everybody's different and has their tachlis, but everybody's different and has their tachlis, has to be in their right place. Otherwise, there's no sefer Torah. So to be Yisrael, it has to be, what's it called, coordinated with everybody else. So those basically are the three aspects of Mishpat. And the Pnei Yeshua says, what do we care about this? Because the whole sugya is in Rosh Hashanah of how the Rabbanu Shalom judges us. What's the midos of the Rabbanu Shalom judging us? L'chora, we're never going to qualify to be a judge. Okay? These are all what the Rabbanu Shalom does. And the Beis Nishol Malo. So what do you have to learn this for? Right? It's never going to be no geitas. Why do I have to know how HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it? Let him do it. He knows how he does it. What do I have to know? Says the Pnei Yeshua. Because if you understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for and how he judges you, then you'll be able to accommodate yourself to the Mishpat and to know what to work on, to know what's important. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us in a way that we can fathom. Because otherwise, if he judges us on his level, he doesn't need time. He doesn't need a Rosh Hashanah and a Aseret Yemei Teshuva and a Yom Kippur. He could do it in less than a second. He doesn't need any time. So why does he bother to judge us over such an extended period of time for our sake that we can accommodate ourselves to it? We can do something about it. We can learn from what's going on and change ourselves. And fit the Mishpat. That's what the purpose is. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it according to our understanding, not according to his capabilities. So the more we understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for, what he's judging us on, the more we have a chance to present ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and present ourselves in a way that's very positive. For that, you have to make a cheshbon ha-nefesh, and you have to know how to correct the things that need correcting, and to come to Yom Kippur and say, Rabbanu Shlom, I may have been doing it wrong till now. I may have not been a great sheep, or a great climber, or a great soldier, or a great part of a kahal, or an Eda, or Yisrael. But from now on, I think I'm going to try again to improve in all these areas. But now you know what there's to improve. You know what the Rabbanu Shlom is looking for. So it makes the Mishpat much more understandable than just, I did this aveira, I did that aveira, I did this mitzvah. It puts it into a context which is what really is going on. That's what the Gemara and the Mishnah mean, that the Kibnei Maron includes all these things. Sheep, climbers, soldiers, both as individuals and as part of the Kahal, the Eda, and Yisrael. And Amir Tzashem, if we understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for, and we make an attempt to show him what he wants to see, then we'll all be zocheh to a gemar chasima tova and a good gesund gewenscht yor beruchnius and begashmis.